Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Welcome this morning. Thank you for joining us for this seminar called Open Doors, which will be about the power of prayer, how prayer opens doors for us in our life. So it's good to see all of you here. And hopefully as you came in, you received a booklet with notes in it and also another booklet that had other brochures in it as well. We'll go over those things later on this morning. So let's begin our prayer today in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Lord, we welcome your presence here today, and we thank you for drawing us together as your people to worship you, to give you praise, to grow in relationship to you. We thank you that you are God who desires communication with us, that you want to speak into our hearts and our lives, and that you want also us to speak whatever is in our heart before you. So we pray, Lord, today that we may grow in both the understanding of prayer, we may grow in understanding who you are, we can grow in the joy and the delight of prayer, so we can invest ourselves in communication with you. So bless our time, open our hearts to the revelation of your word, and draw us more into that place, Lord, where prayer will become something that is not an obligation or a duty, but a delight that we embrace, for it opens doors in our life and the lives of those that we love. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you haven't had a chance yet, I invite you just to fill out a name card on the table. Just take a moment. If you haven't already, just introduce yourself to one another and where you're from. We'll take about a couple minutes just to do that. Okay, let's come back to kind of give you an overview of the day before us as we get started. First of all, this subject is on prayer. Open Doors is describing what prayer can do for us, both in our personal lives as well as in the lives of those that we love and those that we have concern for. So we're talking here today, though, not about corporate prayer, like we gather as like on Mass on Sundays, but we're talking about personal, private prayer. So what we establish in our personal lives, so all our comments will be in reference to that. Now, that's not the only prayer life we have, of course. We gather in two or more. We gather in small groups. We gather on Mass on Sundays. We gather at other times, of course, where we worship the Lord together. But here we're just talking about developing a personal relationship with the Lord through prayer. So we're interested today not so much in particular devotions or styles of prayer. What we're interested is in what do you do when you come before the Lord in prayer? How do you approach that time? What do you do when you're in that time? And what are the expectations and the different movements that go on in our relationship with Him? So our talks today are very nuts and bolts, very practical. We're going to have you do exercises towards the end of just about almost all the talks, almost. We're going to even, I think, several times a day send you off to different places where you can just be alone with the Lord. But we want to get you into the habit, at least begin to think about how do I put this into practice in my life. And we'll see that the kind of prayer we're talking about today is just simply how to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. What do I say when I come into prayer? What are the expectations He has of me? What does He want to do in my life? How do I practically work that out in my life? So that's the focus of what we talk about prayer today. We'll be using the scripture, so hopefully you brought a Bible with you, and we'll be referring to the scriptures quite a bit throughout the day. So let's begin, if you would, and let's look at your notes, turning to the inside. Begin with cultivating the right attitude is key to prayer. Having the proper attitude that we approach prayer is really more important than technique or method or style or even the kinds of prayer, like a particular devotional kind of prayer. Having the right attitude is really the key. So turn in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. So throughout the day, we'll be having a continuous supply of refreshments to my far left, so help yourself throughout the day. Lunch will be served, by the way, around 11:45. So Luke chapter 11, begin with verse 1. This is the Lord's Prayer, and Luke's version of it And I want to focus in on the first couple of verses here. He says, he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So just want to pause there for a moment. Jesus, it's interesting, the disciples never asked Jesus, teach us how to heal, teach us how to preach, teach us how to pastor, teach us how to spiritually direct people. They never asked him those questions. The one question they asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's the only thing we have in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the disciples actually asked Jesus, teach us something, and it was about prayer. So he goes on to say, of course, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves have forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We're going to actually take the Lord's Prayer there, our Father, and use the different points of it as talking about the different elements involved in our prayer life. It is the model prayer. Oftentimes, as Catholics, we're used to praying the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, which is an awesome prayer to pray. But we're saying a typical rabbi wasn't so much interested in teaching his disciples a formula of prayer. He was interested in teaching them what you do when you come into prayer. And the Lord's Prayer was about what I do, not just simply a formula for prayer. So we'll be using that as our sketch throughout the day. So let's take a look back at your notes here. A key connection to getting our lives in order and getting our priorities straight is prayer. Prayer is the place where we put our priorities straight in our life. It's the key to bringing our life under the lordship of Jesus. So whether you're a husband, a mother, a wife, a secretary, a priest, a deacon, a business person, a member of a parish, your life will not be whole or integral without a prayer life. Prayer is the place where we put all things in proper order in our life. Before God, we get our priorities straight in life. So letter B on your outline, prayer feeds our lives. So, you know, we're used to eating three meals a day, maybe two meals a day. You know, many of us would not go a whole week just saying, I'm going to feed on one meal a day, or one meal throughout the entire week. We wouldn't do that. We know that that would be detrimental to our health, and we wouldn't be able to function. Well, prayer is the same way. Prayer feeds our spiritual life and therefore influences every other aspect of our life. It's a gift, and it's based on knowing Jesus as our Lord and having the power of the Holy Spirit stir us and anoint us. When we pray, for example, we pray as members of the body of Christ. In other words, even though you may have private prayer, when you're praying privately, you're also praying as part of the body of Christ, even though you may be the only one in your room. Okay. So, in other words, we join those in heaven who are praying with us and for us. So we're never alone when we pray. And prayer is based upon making a commitment to Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. It's about yielding to the power and anointing of His Spirit in our life. Letter C, we should desire to pray. We should thirst for it, seek after it, and make decisions for it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about making decisions as to prayer in our life. In all situations, I can say, I belong to God. I am His son and daughter. I have the first pledge of my inheritance. That is, I'm a son and daughter, regardless of what happens to me. I am in the company of the saints, the apostles, and I am destined to live forever. Now, those truths get affirmed every time you come into prayer if you have the right attitude as you come before the Lord in prayer. It's like every time the Lord says, say, hey, you're a son and a daughter of mine, that you're destined to live forever with me, and that you're in the company of the saints and the angels and the apostles, that no matter what's going on in your life, that's the one truth you can count on. And prayer affirms that identity before the Lord. That confirms that in your heart and mind. So, because of our prayer life, we can be victorious in the situations in our life. Because of our prayer life, we can have wisdom, guidance, understanding. We can have the victory of the Lord, whatever situation we're facing in us. Letter D in your outline, we need prayer to live. Without prayer, our relationship with God withers. Jesus prayed, and so prayer is to imitate Him. So when we stop and think about it, Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed at significant moments in His life. He got off alone to pray. Here's the Son of God who obviously thought it was critical and important for him to pray. And so he did. So how much more should we pray then? You know, so let's take a look at Mark chapter 1 in your Bible. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 37. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him followed him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns so I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, Jesus went off to pray, but Simon and the other people went in search of him and said, "Lord, they need you to teach. They need you to heal. They need you to do all these great, awesome things." And Jesus said, "No, I'm off praying. Leave me alone." It's that kind of thing. Because they actually went in search of him. So in other words, Jesus thought it was really important to take time in his daily schedule to pray. And obviously, it was a pretty hectic and busy schedule for him. And here he had his main people trying to pull him into a place where, hey, you know, Jesus, do all these things. And Jesus said, "No, those things can wait. What I need to do is spend time with my Father in heaven." And so that was a priority for Jesus. He actually went off away and had to kind of like give his disciples some pushback and say, "No, I'm not going to do that right now. I want to be with my Father in heaven." You know, so I say all that because that passage indicates the priority that Jesus made in prayer. One of the things you're going to hear us talk about throughout the entire day is that we need to make decisions to invest ourselves in prayer. Okay. It's kind of like if you're making investments in things, you know, usually the investments don't bear fruit overnight, but over time they do. But you make an investment, you make a commitment into something, whether it be property or be the stock market or whatever, you know, you make investments. And over time, you expect it to bear fruit. Well, prayer is the same way. We make a commitment to invest ourselves in it. Just a little side note. When we talk about prayer, we're not talking about spending hours in prayer. That depends upon the state of your life, what's going on in your life, and so on. What we're simply talking about is carving out time to pray. We recommend, if you haven't been praying, start off with 15 minutes a day. And it's kind of like when I used to run. I remember in high school and college, I used to run a lot of track and field. And usually, you know, when I first started, I could never run, you know, a mile in, you know, a couple minutes, which is what the expectation was. So what I would do is take time to build up. I run as fast as I could around one lap. And I wouldn't worry about the other laps. And I just kind of build myself up gradually over time. When I did long distance running, it was never start off running 20 miles. You know, I would be, you know, they'd be picking me up off the ground someplace. It was start off slowly and build up. Same thing with prayer. We believe you start off slowly and you build up from there. And a lot depends upon the conditions of your life, the obligations, the responsibilities you have, and so on. But we are talking about making an investment in prayer, even if it's just 10, 15 minutes a day. Start there. That's the lap you run. And then as you run the lap, you get stronger, you begin to go a little bit further, and it becomes actually a joy and a delight. Okay, so let's look at letter F on your outline here. The disciples noticed Jesus praying one day, and they said, teach them to pray. And as I mentioned, no one dare ask him to teach them to preach or heal or even teach others. Either you change because the power of prayer changes you, or else it's incompatible to pray the prayer and you stop praying. I remember a situation once where a person has struggled with forgiving somebody else, and I said, okay, well, it takes time to pray for that person to be able to forgive them. And I said, it won't happen overnight. I said, but if you pray for that person and bless them and pray for good things to happen in their life, I said, one or two things will happen. Either you'll give up, okay, or if you persevere, your heart will change towards them, you know. And so that's what we say, invest yourself in prayer. Prayer will either change you or you'll give up on it, you know. And we'll talk a little bit later about praying. How do I know what I'm praying for is God's will for my life? And we'll talk about that in a little while as well. Letter G, no time to pray means no faith in God. What is faith? Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament. and you have to go almost all the way to the back of it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. Faith is a dependence upon the Lord, and a trusting and dependence upon his word. If we don't take time to pray in our life, then faith will be greatly diminished or hardly will exist at all. It's a simple fact that prayer builds dependence upon the Lord. It builds faith in my heart in him and his word. It's the belief that God is the answer to the situations I face. But that belief just doesn't fall out of the sky. It comes as a result of investing myself in prayer. Faith means my relationship to God is more important than any other relationship in my life. So I invest in it. And therefore, as I do, I build faith. I build confidence. I build trust in the Lord. And when we're not praying consistently or hardly praying at all in our life, then I have very little faith. It's kind of like exercising. You know, the more that you exercise, the more you tone your muscles. And if somebody said to you, and you haven't been exercising, hey, could you move 50 pounds? You say, well, I probably could, but I probably hurt myself in the process because I haven't been exercising. But if you have been exercising consistently, your muscles are toned, and they said, could you move 50 pounds? Yes, you could move it. And it would pretty, not that it would be an easy thing, but it would be, you wouldn't hurt yourself in the process because your muscles are toned and they respond to what is required at that moment. Prayer is like that. Prayer builds our faith muscle, if you would. It builds our confidence, our trust, our dependence on the Lord. It builds up our confidence in him. So when we face circumstances and situations in our life, if we've been praying consistently, then I have my faith muscle built up. So I know that whatever I'm facing, the Lord is, and who the Lord is powerful to work in that situation. I have confidence that he'll speak into the situation, that he will... And therefore my prayer will be energized. It will be filled with almost an anticipation of him working in my life. Now, prayer opens doors for us when nothing else can. The challenges we face in our life, then, our loved ones, will only be removed in a lot of circumstances through prayer that opens doors for us and for them. I'm reminded of the scripture story in the book of Acts. Peter's in jail, right? So what does the early church do? They go and they pray. And literally, the Lord opened the prison doors for Peter. And I think it was Silas was with him. And they walked out. And the next thing they know is Peter's knocking on the door where the Christians had gathered to pray. And somebody opened the door and they couldn't believe that it was Peter standing right in front of them. Literally, prayer opened doors. That's what prayer does. It opens doors in our life and the life of our loved one. And it's not like a simple prayer, one single prayer or a Lord, hear my prayer kind of thing. It's more like I invest myself in prayer for the challenges I face in my life and my loved ones. And the Lord actually wants to open the doors in those situations. John Wesley, an Anglican, said once, he says, the Lord does nothing unless his people first pray. You know, so the Lord works in relationship to his people praying. Now, one of the challenges we face in our time is that, will God hear my prayer? Will he answer my prayer? And will he actually intervene in life situations and change them? There is a philosophical movement that occurred a couple centuries ago that still lingers on. It's called deism. It basically said this, that God is powerful, but he basically created the world, and then he stepped back and let us run it. So he's not going to do anything. He did his thing. He created it. And then it's up to us to use all our resources and energy and time and, you know, to be able to work out our own situations. The problem with that is it's not a biblical vision. The biblical vision is that when we call upon God, he acts and he intervenes in the circumstances of our life. God, the biblical vision is that God engages his people as they call out to him and as they pray. So what we're talking about is a God who is dynamic, who wants to engage the hearts and lives of his people and their situations. But a lot of times he waits for us to call out to him and to invest ourselves in prayer. So let's look at letter H on your outline here. What do you do in prayer? First thing you do, and here we want to get real practical, is first thing is determine the time you want to pray. What is your best time? Think of it as making an appointment with God. We have appointments in our life, right? We have appointments with doctors. We have appointments with people that we want to have lunch with. You know, we have appointments with lawyers. You know, we have appointments all over. And we put them in our Google calendar, right? And that's my appointment. You know, why not make an appointment with God every day? What's your best time to pray? Now, some people say, well, I pray when I drive to work. Hey, that's awesome. But, you know, when you're trying to build a relationship with somebody, you need time alone with them. And when you're working, when you're driving, you know, you can't spend time alone with God because you're obviously attuned to the road situation, right? So if you want to build a relationship with somebody, you take time to be with them alone. Isn't it kind of disturbing? I've done this, I'm sure maybe you've done this, is that you're having a conversation with somebody and they pull out their cell phone, right? Checking their messages. He's like, how can I have a conversation? You know, I'm with the person, but I'm not really with the person. That's the way it is with driving in the car. We're with God, but we're not really with him, you know. However, I would say it's great to pray when you're driving, but don't make that your prayer time. You want to invest with him in a relationship with him, just with him and you. He gets your undivided attention, you know, and that's key to developing the relationship. So determine the time, make an appointment, put it actually, if you have to, in your Google calendar, okay? And here's the goal. Make an appointment with God daily, 7 out of 7 days a week, 30 out of 31, 30, 31 out of 31 days of the month. That's the goal. And we invite you to make it your best time. Number two is, what is a good setting to pray? You have to find a setting that you can be alone with God and be yourself. Sometimes that may mean walking. It may mean going off to someplace. It may mean having a corner of your house where you just set aside to pray. But when we talk about that, there'll be times where you want to speak out loud to God, and it probably is more comfortable when you're alone and away from people or activity. I remember a young family I knew at one of the parishes I was at years ago. They were really committed to prayer, and so the wife and the husband had a deal with each other, and they would say, particularly the wife, she said, well, give me 20 minutes of prayer in the evening a day. They had like 5 or 6 kids, little kids, you know. And so what happened was, she went into the bathroom, locked the door, and that was her prayer time in there for 20 minutes while her husband occupied the 5 or 6 kids they had, you know. So it was the place where she could be alone and be herself, basically, before the Lord, and, you know, and you can invest herself in prayer. So find the place that's best for you, okay? All right, if you look down at number 4, bring with you into your prayer time. We're recommending 2 things to bring with you: a Bible, because that's what God will speak to us with primarily through the Bible. And bring a notepad or a journal, whatever it is that you want to have, so you can write down what you feel God is speaking to you about in that time. We'll cover more about that later on in the day. So bring a Bible and bring some kind of notepad or journal with you. Okay, so what you do now is we're going to take a few minutes, just about 10 minutes in your small group, and just talk about what your challenges are regarding daily prayer in your life. Sure. Yes. Right. God only does things in relationship to his people praying. Right, exactly. So in other words, at some point, he may prod you to pray if you haven't been praying, to get you to pray, but he's only going to work in relationship with us because we're like co-partners with him, you know. So he waits for his people to pray. Yeah, exactly. Then he's not able to work in that situation. Yeah. Now, he may be knocking on the door of their heart, hey, pray, you know, but they can ignore him. But we need, but he respond. He wants us to respond to him. You know, it's not a magical thing. It's not a, you know, roll the dice and, you know, God it will just do whatever. No, it's, he waits for his people to interact with him and to pray, right? Now, like I said, he will do everything he can to get us to pray, okay, but we can ignore him. And therefore, he's limited as to what he can do in that situation. Yeah, prayer is critical to God really acting. And we'll hear us, as I mentioned already, you'll hear us say we need to invest ourselves in prayer for God to really see God work in situations. You know, and that's why this day, we designed this day and call it Open Doors. Because as we invest ourselves in prayer, we're going to see God open doors in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. Okay, let's take those 10 minutes, if you would. And in your group, talk about what are the challenges that you have in daily personal prayer.